This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Still no Christian Wood, and also without Eric Gordon, Victor Oladipo, and PJ Tucker, as the Rockets' losing streak increases to 6, falling to the Washington Wizards 131-119. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, covering the Rockets for ESPN 97.5 and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, at ESPN 97.5, and also at Apollo HOU. This game was so... tale of two halves, really, in this game. I mean, first off, being down multiple starting caliber players is tough. Like, it's already tough being without Christian Wood, your best player, but then also missing Eric Gordon, who has been... I have to throw this out there really quickly. I noted recently in a recent episode that Christian Wood has been the stabilizing force for this Rockets team. Eric Gordon has also been that this season, and I haven't given him enough credit for what he's been able to do, both off the bench as a starter. He's scored 20-plus in every single game that he was a starter in. He scored 20-plus again against the Knicks. Wasn't able to recap that episode, unfortunately, because there is a winter storm happening here in Houston, and so I was actually without power for a short while. Thankfully, it was late into Sunday evening, and then I got power back mid-afternoon Monday, so not too long for me without power. But that did kind of set us back a little bit this week, unfortunately. So if you're listening to this, if you're in the Houston area, if you're in Texas and you're experiencing this winter storm, please stay safe. I wish you all the best. If you are without power currently and using your phone battery to listen to this podcast, I'm glad you made me a part of your day today. But I really hope that everybody out there is staying safe, staying warm, and please be careful with what's going on. This ice is seriously no joke. Now, back to the actual basketball for a moment. Missing Eric Gordon, missing PJ Tucker, missing Victor Oladipo. Look, even though all those guys have had their ups and downs, right? They, you know, missing that many starting quality players is going to have a very adverse impact on what your team is going to be able to accomplish. And we saw a lot of that in this game. You know, unfortunately, the Rockets starters as a team, they all had some really individually good games, but the bench itself did not hold a candle to the Washington Wizards bench, and large part because they didn't have the support that they normally do, given the fact that so many of their usual bench players are being plugged into the starting lineup in David Nwaba, DeMarcus Cousins, Daniel House Jr., missing the scoring punch of Eric Gordon off the bench, all of these things, right? So missing those guys definitely hurts. Shout out to Ray Spalding, who it seems like he regretfully suffered suffered an Achilles injury in this game. It happened as the camera kind of cut away and went to commercial, but prayers up for Ray Spalding, you know, finally getting a chance at the NBA level and having an Achilles injury is just the worst kind of luck for him and for this Rockets team that, you know, he could have been really useful for this team, needing a role threat in the absence of Christian Wood, and he looked decent in his, you know, short stint with the Rockets and looked really good down with the RGV Vipers, so I was hopeful that he was going to be able to be a part of this team moving forward, so wishing him the best in his recovery. Now, like I said, this game was kind of a tale of two halves. The Rockets, right there with the Wizards, despite all of the injuries, all the missing personnel, right there with the Wizards at halftime, 72-69. But the Wizards just kind of exploded in that third quarter, and the Rockets just failed to show up, didn't score a single bucket in that third quarter until the 8-minute mark off of a DeMarcus Cousins layup. you know, held scoreless for 4 minutes. And that's what we've seen with this team, is these droughts that they go through. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in detail in segment two. But that third quarter, kind of going into the fourth, the Wizards really took over this game, limiting the Rockets from the floor, causing turnovers. Just that's where the game really, really got away from this team. As far as the Wizards go, they had some really strong games from Bradley Beal, who had poured in 37 points. Russell Westbrook with a triple-double, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists. And then just collectively, the Wizards' bigs were causing a lot of issues for the Rockets. Wagner, Hachimura, Lopez off the bench. Just the rolling presence of those bigs. And that's another thing that I will talk about in a little bit more detail down the line. But as far as the Rockets in this one, John Wall had a strong game, 29 points, but he, you know, 29 points, 11 assists, 3 rebounds, had a steal, had a block, but really wasn't impressed with his second half performance. Really felt like he played a really great first half, and then kind of as the game started slipping more and more away from the Rockets in the second half, he started more so playing to get his as opposed to playing a kind of a team-oriented style to try and win the game. And I mean, that's kind of, you know, you look at the 26 shot attempts, and nobody else on the team attempted more than 12, you know, and it was, you know, I don't know exactly who you point to and say, oh, well, this person should have gotten more shots, but maybe it should have just been John Ball. Wow, I've done that way too often. I keep calling him John Ball for some reason. Maybe it should have been John Wall looking to create a little bit more for the team rather than looking to get his as frequently as he was. Granted, again, he was really aggressive in that first half, looked really good, and then the shots just weren't falling in the second half. So I would have liked to see him be a little bit more focused on getting the rest of the team involved rather than continuing to try and force the issue, which, again, it kind of felt like he was playing more so for himself and to make a statement to the Wizards franchise than it was to try and win this game, especially as the game started slipping away, unfortunately. Just too many turnovers in the second half from John Wall in this one. You know, and I think at a certain point, you know, between the turnovers and his teammates not being able to convert on shots, it just kind of got to a point where he was just like, you know, fine, I'll do it myself, and kind of tried to Thanos-esque take over in the second half. But ultimately, he wasn't able to convert as efficiently as he was in the second half. And behind the arc, his shot just wasn't falling for him in this game. Just 1 of 7 shooting from the three-point line. So just overall, kind of a bad night from John Wall for that second half of the game. And I think this, again, a game that he really, really had some emotional investment in this one. You know, definitely had it circled on his calendar and would have loved to walk away with a win. But alas, just as short-staffed as the Rockets were, they just could not come out on top. Now, in this one, I think that, you know, the player of the game, they gave it to John Wall on the broadcast. But to me, the player of the game is actually Jayshon Tate. He is the standout in this game. That I think he had a really, really strong overall game. Very, very few weaknesses in this game from him. Like, just going down his stat line, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, had 2 steals, shot 8 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 3 from behind the three-point line. There only had 1 turnover. I mean, he really did have a thoroughly, like, just all throughout the game, really solid performance, not to mention some of the defense that he had, some of the hustle plays, the extra effort plays. There was that one possession where he was going for the offensive rebound, and it took both Rui Hachimura and Brook Lopez fouling him for them to be able to secure that defensive board, because, again, Jayshon Tate is just that irritant. He gets under your skin. He looks to try and, you know, recover loose balls. He's constantly crashing the offensive glass, and he has got to be a handful to deal with if you're the opposing team trying to box out, trying to secure defensive rebounds. It's got to be frustrating to have Jayshon Tate, you know, all 240 pounds of him, you know, muscling up against you trying to attack the offensive glass. So I'm giving him my Rockets player of the game, the locked on Rockets player of the game, if you will. Not to mention the fact that he is, again, so crafty inside, you know, whether he catches the ball down low and, you know, finishes with an array of post moves inside, or he gets the ball going downhill and is able to finish, you know, even through contact at times. Didn't have a single free throw in this game, but easily could have gone to the line, you know, 5 or 6 times. because of just how often he catches the ball down low or gets the ball rolling downhill and absorbs contact and is still able to finish. Just such a nice soft touch around the rim. So he's my standout Rockets player of the game from this one, despite the fact that the broadcast handed the player of the game award to John Wall. So coming up, I do want to talk about that issue with the bigs and how the Rockets actually struggled dealing with Wagner, Hachimura, and Lopez. Also want to talk about the fact that it doesn't really feel like they have any go-to offensive sets, I guess, is the way to put it. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which doesn't exactly seem fair, right? RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest possible prices rather than changing their prices around based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is a really important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, recapping the Rockets' 131-119 loss against the Washington Wizards, now falling to 11-16 on the season, a full 5 games below 500, unfortunately, just 6-10 on the road. And this Rockets team has played so many games on the road. It really sucks. Like they've basically been on the road the entire month of February, it feels like. But let's get into it. So I want to get into, first off, I'll talk about the bigs first. And it's so painfully obvious that this team needs serviceable bigs. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, again, can be effective in very small stretches for, you know, 10, maybe 15 minutes a night. But he just is not the long-term solution for this team at the center spot. I'm not even fully convinced he's the long-term solution for this team at the backup center spot, but you make the most with what you have. And when Christian Wood is healthy and out there, you can live with DeMarcus Cousins playing maybe 10 to 15 minutes a night, kind of filling in that backup, that pick and pop role. He kind of anchors the rebounding department defensively, is able to use his bigger body to kind of box out. But you're so limited in what you can do defensively with him, where if you're not playing drop coverage with DeMarcus Cousins, then you're going to get burned. If you switch DeMarcus out onto a guard on the perimeter, you can't blitz pick and rolls. You cannot do half the things or even a quarter of the things that you can do with Christian Wood out there that you can with DeMarcus Cousins. And that's where I was so excited about the addition of Ray Spalding, a big who is a little bit more light on his feet, athletic, has a lot more speed than DeMarcus Cousins, and can give you things offensively. Yes, he's not going to space the floor like Cousins, but he gives you a different dynamic where he can actually roll to the rim and unlock certain things, where even if he's not converting on these roles, even if Ray Spalding, you know, doesn't become, you know, Clint Capella-esque in what he was, you know, ideally going to be able to do as the role man. Again, prayers up for Ray Spalding. Hope his Achilles turns out okay and that it's not a severe injury, but if it's an Achilles injury, it's probably going to be pretty damn bad. But that was the hope, is that Ray Spalding would kind of give you another dynamic, another gear offensively that DeMarcus Cousins just doesn't, and hopefully defensively that he'd give you a little bit more. But now Ray Spalding out with the Achilles injury, DeMarcus Cousins remains your only true big on the roster. And unfortunately, we see it again. Cousins only getting 20 minutes in this game, not even getting play down the stretch. You know, it just, Silas not, you know, not, I guess, not trusting, not, you know, believing in Cousins and his ability to be out there in the fourth quarter of these games. Not sure what it is. Well, I apologize. I know what it is. He's a defensive liability. You know, having him out there hurts this team defensively, and offensively he's limited to only being able to play really a pick and pop role because he just doesn't have the rolling capability. And unfortunately, this team hasn't really looked to try and find other ways to get Cousins the ball, like down low in the post, to try and maybe see if they can unlock another portion of his game that used to be there, that may still be there, but they haven't looked to do that yet. So finding serviceable bigs for this team, whether they be via trade, whether they be signing a free agent candidate, even if there's a delay, like bringing in a Dwayne Dedman type, and there's a delay where he's got to go through, you know, get in, you know, indoctrinated into the COVID testing protocol and all this stuff, doesn't matter. Like, you know, they need help. If the goal is to continue to compete, then they need help. They need another look at that backup five spot. And it can't be Ray Spalding due to injury. And Cousins gives them one look, yes. But between Cousins and Christian Wood, that's not enough. They need to find a third answer. And hopefully Rafael Stone can find that third answer for this team sooner rather than later. Now, the other element that I want to talk about here in this second segment is the fact that this Rockets team, without Christian Wood, who, again, is so uber efficient the way that he plays the game, has such a great touch inside the paint, and can score in such a variety of ways, it really feels like they have no go-to offensive option or set to run when they really need a guaranteed bucket. Like, there's not the, you know, the age old, you know, they don't have the James Harden isolation to fall back on, right? John Wall can't get to the rim at will. You know, he gets there with, you know, at a very high frequency. But, you know, a John Wall drive and John Wall isolation drive is not the go-to play. And when Christian Wood is there, then yeah, a John Wall Christian Wood pick and roll is a pretty efficient offensive set to run to get some type of offense going, whether it be John Wall driving and able to finish at the rim, whether it be Christian Wood getting a pass from John Wall on the pick and roll, whether it be a pass out to a shooter on the wing from John Wall as the defense collapses, whatever it may be, that is a great bread and butter play for this team when Christian Wood is available. But without Christian Wood, this team has basically no guaranteed offensive sets. And that's what I've been, you know, searching and hoping for. And we saw a little bit of that in the game against the New York Knicks. Jae'Sean Tate kind of showing his ability as a roller, being able to slip some of those screens. You know, actively giving the Rockets another layer to their offense, because right now so much of the offense is exclusively drive and kick for threes. It's drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick. And when the threes are not falling, when you're shooting sub 25% from behind the arc, it really, really hurts. Now, we'd be speaking a lot differently if they were hitting, say, 35% of their threes. Then we'd be having a very, very different discussion, because they are generating good looks. And that's the takeaway, is they're generating quality looks from behind the arc, but they're not converting them. And again, it gets very dangerously close to the whole "we got the shots we wanted" type mantra from Mike D'Antoni. But at the same time, this team is limited in the sense that that's kind of the only way that they can generate offense now, right? Is with Christian Wood out there, if they were still doing the same old, if they were still forcing up 40 plus three-pointers a game and shooting sub 25% on him, then yes, I'd be hammering this team and saying, why is Christian Wood not getting more touches? Why are they not working the ball inside? Why are they not working the inside out game, getting Christian Wood down low, getting him on the roll, you know, trying to score the ball at the rim first and then collapsing the defense to get those outside shots? That would be my main argument. But right now, they just don't have an alternative. You know, what is the alternative? Again, I briefly mentioned it, right? Posting up DeMarcus Cousins? That doesn't exactly seem like a super high-efficiency play, unfortunately, at this stage in Cousins' career. So, ultimately, you know, it's tough, because who else do you go to? I mean, Jae'Sean Tate has shown an ability when he gets going downhill to finish at the rim. John Wall, same thing, although this game, again, being largely inefficient in the second half, just 10 of 26 shooting for this game. David Nwaba has you know, shown a great ability to finish, but there's just not a singular player that this team can essentially run their offense through without Christian Wood. And I think that's where we're seeing this team really struggle, is offensively not having that go-to guy, not having that calming, consistent scoring presence. Again, John Wall, Eric Gordon are great secondary and tertiary guys to be able to kind of initiate that drive and kick style offense, get the defense collapsing, get the ball moving around the perimeter, but not having that one guaranteed guy that you can give the ball to and say, go get me buckets right now, is what's hurting this team. because when those offensive droughts set in and they go scoreless for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes at a time, 4 minutes in this one at the top of that third quarter, that's where you really miss Christian Wood. Is because you can give Christian Wood the ball and say, hey, we need some points, big fella. Can you go do that for us? And he can go do that for you. Whether it be a pump fake on the three-point line and a drive to the rim, whether it be rolling to the rim and finishing above the defense, whether it be taking the ball inside strong and getting fouled and getting to the charity stripe, whatever it may be, Christian Wood gets you that. So without him, this team has struggled. And I genuinely don't know where they go for that consistent offense because I don't see a guy on the team who is able to provide that at a similarly efficient level to Christian Wood. So it's got to be done by a kind of a collective group effort. Is there, again, they're trying to make up that 25 some odd points a game that Christian Wood gets on uber elite efficiency. And so far to this point, they haven't been able to do it because they're not converting the good three-point looks that they're getting. They're getting them, they're just not sinking them. And it's a make or miss league. And right now, unfortunately, the Rockets are missing a lot more than they're making. So coming up, I do want to wrap up some final thoughts on this one. I want to talk about the Rockets' defensive issues, as well as just health being paramount in this league, and a certain RGV Viper that everybody is clamoring for this team to bring up. And we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Look, football might be over, but NBA basketball, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. And speaking of full swing, MLB is right around the corner. And look, even BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. So head over to the website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Talking about the Rockets, I don't want to call it a collapse at the Wizards. It's kind of a collapse. A little bit of a collapse. Again, I can't really, like, it's so hard for me to be harsh on this team when you're missing so many players. Like, that's my big takeaway, is it's just, you know, if I really wanted it, like, if they had everybody healthy and they were losing to the Washington Wizards, you bet your ass I'd be going in on this team. But I just can't. Like, I'm finding too much sympathy in the fact that they are dealing with so much adversity and have all throughout the season. And I said as much right after the game that has any rookie head coach dealt with as much adversity as Steven Silas has through such a short amount of time? Like, it's just ridiculous, you know, going from the James Harden drama, going from the COVID protocols, you know, to start the season, then the James Harden trade. Now he's trying to factor in Victor Oladipo. Then his star player Christian Wood gets hurt. Then you're dealing with all these different guys in and out of the lineups. It's just, it's such a painful experience for Steven Silas, and he has done nothing but be an absolute professional throughout the entire process. And you can really feel it seeing him, listening to him in these post-game interviews where he's just really down on what's going on with this team right now. And it really sucks after getting a taste of what this team could be capable of when fully healthy, when all the gears are, you know, working together perfectly, when everything's in place. And that's the hope. Because, like, looking at some of these players, right, in this game, there were some solid individual performances. And we've seen this, right, is that this Rockets team has a cast of role players who have a really good knack for being able to step up occasionally and have some really stellar nights, be it defensively, offensively, both sides of the court. Like, in this one, Daniel House Jr. has been struggling, like, struggling bad from behind the arc. And he kind of continued that in this game. But apart from that, he had a really stellar all-around game. He had 17 points on 6 of 10 shooting. You take away the three-pointers from that, and he was actually 5 of 6 shooting overall. He was 4 of 5 at the foul stripe, had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, had a steal, had a block. Daniel House Jr. had a really solid game. He just cannot buy a three-point shot right now. David Nwaba had a really solid game, 19 points, 7 of 10 shooting. Hit every single shot that he attempted inside the arc, couldn't hit anything, 0 for 3 behind the arc, 5 of 7 at the charity stripe, had 11 rebounds. David Nwaba with 11 boards, had an assist, had a couple steals, had a block. Like, this Rockets team has a cast of guys that are really, really solid. They just don't have anybody that can consistently do the heavy lifting that Christian Wood does when he's out there on the court. This team, and they've referenced as much on the broadcast, and I really think, and even the players have spoken about it, but usually, right, you hear the old adage, defense creates offense. But for some reason, it really feels like with this team, their offense is what creates their defense. And that's such a weird reversal of the norm, because traditionally, right, and it's kind of one of those, right, when it does start, then yeah, then their defense actually does start creating offense, and then that's when this team looks really, really, really good. But I think it starts with when this team is hitting shots, when they're getting things going offensively, they are more bought in defensively. They're playing for each other, they're switching, they're playing with more energy, they're communicating, they're vocal. Everything works and everything just seems so seamless with this team when they're hitting shots offensively. And then defensively, they pick up the intensity. They're doing everything right, they're communicating, they're making the right switches, the right reads, they're really hustling, they're in that extra gear defensively. And when they're doing that defensively, that's when they get those easy opportunities on offense. That's when they start getting out in transition. That's when they start really pushing the pace. And then that's when this team looks really, really elite for certain stretches. But it's when those shots stop falling offensively. It's when they go through those offensive droughts, when they can't seem to hit anything, when they cannot buy a bucket, that then they start taking the pressure off defensively. They stop buying into everything that they've been, you know, they stop buying into the stuff that has made them successful, that has made them a top-rated defensive team when the shots aren't falling. And then by the time that they've missed a few shots in a row, then they finally get, you know, a defensive stop, they finally get a few stops in a row, and they're not getting out in transition. They're not playing with enough pace. That's kind of another takeaway is, you know, without Christian Wood out there, without that consistent element of your offense, you have to manufacture points in different ways. So not only does this team have to find ways to score consistently in the half court without their best player, but they also have to find ways to score easy points. And what's the easiest way to score points? You get out in transition. And it seems like even after the Rockets are getting these quality defensive stops, they're not pushing the ball up. They're not looking for those pass-ahead passes. John Wall isn't looking to get out and be a blur in transition anymore. And I don't know when they like decided to get away from that or what the mentality there is, but they absolutely need to get back to playing faster if they want a chance to win these games without Christian Wood. Because there were so many opportunities in this Wizards game where they get a quality stop, and then John or somebody else just walks the ball up casually. Like they've got the best half-court offense in the league. And I'm like, no, like this is not the way to play when you are without Christian Wood, when your offense in the half-court is looking so flat, flatter than it has all season. You know, their offense has not been great. So what do you do? You push the ball in transition, you get those good defensive stops, and then you're able to utilize guys like David Nwaba, like Jay Shantae, like John Wall, who are terrors in transition. When they get the ball going with a full head of steam in transition, those three guys, even other guys on the roster, right? Eric Gordon, when he gets rolling in transition, Sterling Brown has shown some flashes, Daniel House in transition, all these uber-athletic guys who are currently struggling to hit from the outside, right? Get them some easy looks. Get them some easy opportunities in transition to score at the rim before the opposing defense is set. And then you get into your wacky half-court offense where you're almost exclusively running pick and pop with DeMarcus Cousins or, you know, some pseudo pick and roll with Ray Spalding, who, you know, hasn't really shown, you know, a lot of threat as a lob threat, but at least, again, having a rim runner unlocked a few things for them against the Knicks and then temporarily in this game before, again, Ray Spalding went down with the Achilles injury, so wishing him all the best. But that's what they're missing offensively, is they're missing layers to their offense, and so they have to get out in transition to address some of that and give them a fighting chance in these games. And so that's what kind of, you know, I guess I can circle back on this note, and this will be my final kind of exclamation point on this podcast. Health is a total luxury in the NBA, right? Is if you have a healthy lineup, a healthy roster, the best availability is availability, right? And right now the Rockets have been absolutely plagued by injuries, resting, you know, players not being available, COVID protocol, just all of this stuff. And so, and they're not the only team that's dealing with it. The entire NBA is. But the teams that have had the most success in the NBA this year, I'm looking at the Utah Jazz, right? That's a team that has largely not faced many injury issues and have not faced hardly any COVID testing issues, if any, actually, now that I think about it. So the Rockets have to find ways to kind of climb that hill, right? They have to overcome that somehow. And so what better way to do that than to say, you know what? There's a guy that is balling out in the G League right now named Kevin Porter Jr. And if Eric Gordon and Victor Oladipo are going to continue to miss games, and if John Wall is going to have to continue to rest on second nights of back-to-backs, right, and if this team is going to continue to struggle offensively, what reason is there to not bring up Kevin Porter Jr.? And I understand he's got the off-the-court issues, and hopefully, you know, I don't know what inside the Rockets organization, how they've addressed those, you know, what has been said to him, what's going on there. But the kid is balling out in the G League. He's obviously too good for the G League, but he needs real basketball reps after having not played for going on almost a year, like 10 months, like truly competitive basketball since last March, I think it was, pre-COVID, basically. So he needed reps. He's getting reps down in the G League, in the gubble. I hate that. But I don't see a reason why it would be a bad idea to bring him up to this level to get some minutes, especially if this team is going to continue to have nights where they are completely undermanned. You know, in this one, they essentially played almost a seven-man rotation because Mason Jones only got 13 minutes off the bench. Ray Spalding got 10 before his injury, and Sterling Brown had 25, and Ben McLemore had 20. The starters, Daniel House Jr. played 36 minutes. Tate played 40, Cousins played 20, Wall played 35, and David Nwaba played 41 minutes. David Nwaba, just in case anybody forgot, is also coming back from an Achilles injury. So there is no reason for David Nwaba to play 40-plus minutes in a game against the Washington frickin' Wizards when there are serviceable quality players that are spending time down in the G League. Like, I'm sorry. And if the argument is that when the Rockets do get back to being healthy, when everybody is back and fully available, that KPJ won't get minutes, I can feel that argument a little bit. But at the same time, you know, I'm at this point where Mason Jones has had flashes, yes, but my biggest concern with him is he just does not seem to have the ability to create his own shot at the NBA level. And I said as much in his first game. I was like, he looks great. He's hitting the ball from behind the arc. That's awesome. But he can't create separation. And that's what I'm seeing now is he's struggling at the NBA level with the speed that some of these guys have. He cannot create his own shot. And then Ben McLemore has regressed, has stopped hitting threes. I know that it's tough to not get consistent minutes, but as a shooter, you need to be ready to come in whenever the coach calls your number. And in this game, Ben McLemore, 7 points on 1 of 6 shooting from behind the arc. He hit a couple of his shots inside the arc, sure, missed both of his free throws. But Ben McLemore, at this point, I'd be ecstatic if the Rockets could get a second-round draft pick for him at this point. But both of those guys, I think you can easily make the argument that Kevin Porter Jr., if he was up here with the team right now, that he should be getting minutes over both of those guys easily. And for this Rockets team that definitely needs another playmaker, a guy that is comfortable with the ball in his hands, that can make passes, that can make plays for his teammates, even if it's just for 10, 15 minutes a night, for Kevin Porter Jr., he's a guy that can do that. So I would like to see him up with this Rockets team. That's essentially where I'm at. I was hesitant at first because I genuinely felt like he needed to get some real game reps under his belt with the Vipers, and he's done that. And he looks every bit of the hype that Rockets fans thought he was going to be, that I thought he was going to be. So bring him up to the NBA level, let him get real reps, let him learn under the tutelage of John Wall, let him be surrounded by these veteran guys, and let him develop here in the NBA instead of down in the bubble. And hopefully, right, maybe he can have some games where he catches fire. Maybe he has some really uber-talented performances. And he can be, potentially, that guy that can help kind of stabilize the offense and provide a little bit of a spark instead of this constant ebb and flow where the Rockets go through these just ridiculous droughts where they just cannot find a bucket no matter how hard they try. So I want to see Kevin Porter Jr. brought up, and that is the drum that I'm going to be beating for the foreseeable future for this Rockets team. So for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.